Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wiehunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wiehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wiehunt the Barbarian. Welcome to the Space Age Bachelor Pad in our new Blog Talk radio show. It's the first Tuesday of each month we will have this fantastic show. It's kind of a deviation from our normal hard-hitting political show on Thursday nights. But it's Von Wiehunt and the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy with an epic retro encore episode 3 tonight. Our encore star date is July 6th, 2021 AD. And tonight, like always, is a very special night. We have a lot of great callers, I can tell. A lot of people have been calling the show and emailing me and texting me all day and all week about this once-a-month show. We may actually have more shows as time goes on, of course. And I welcome you all into the Bachelor's Den America. This is our new radio show, an epic episode 3, and the theme tonight is God Save the Bachelor King. This show will be the third episode in a series that will span 1,000 years as the Bachelor Kingdom is reborn in America and around the world. The next Bachelor show will be in early August, and this show is based on my hit book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, the retro and modern-day bachelor guide for the new Renaissance man of the millennium and beyond. And now it's time for our Animal House frat pledge for all the new inductees to the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy radio show.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
Sergeant at Arms. Do your duty.
Now on your Delta Tau Chi name is Weasel. Now on your name is Mothball. Kroger, your Delta Tau Chi name is Pinto.
Why Pinto?
Why not?
What's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Dorfman, you've given this a lot of thought. From now on, your name is Flounder.
Flounder?
We now consecrate the bond of obedience. Assume the position.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yes. Every generation has its destiny. And for the young men of the atomic age, it was nothing less than to have the world as their oyster, to have the tiger by the tail, as they say, and to wash it all down with a dry martini. Between 1954 and 1964, a new masculine archetype flourished in America. Fresh from victory in World War II and gorged on the fruits of affluence and victory, American men developed a democratized pop form of dandyism for the masses, a cult of style, if you will, and leisure, based on the carefree life of bachelorhood, with a well-paying office job or factory or white-collar or blue-collar job, and the benefits of the growing sexual revolution, the swinging bachelor could cultivate a carefree and symbiotic lifestyle based on everything that was modern and hip in his era and time. In short, for the first time in American history, where every generation had to go to war and fight, after World War II, the man in America could finally become a playboy and realize his full potential. Founded in 1953, Hugh Hefner's Playboy Mansion and magazine became the standard of this new modern male. The magazine was a writable how-to guide for the upwardly mobile young professional. Its pages packed with the spoils of La Dolce Vita. Stylish clothes, gadgets, convertible sports cars, jazz music, rock and roll, dry martinis, and tropical cocktails. With Playboy, the swinging bachelor could keep up on all the latest trends, from mambo to jazz to rock, to even psychoanalysis, while dreaming at the same time of taking a yacht to the South Pacific, meeting his honey, or a rocket to the moon. This is where we find ourselves today, if we fast forward to 2021. So gentlemen, pirates and rat pack bastards worldwide, tonight I want you to put your best red velvet smoking jacket on. Light up your cigar or pipe with your favorite vintage and cool lighter. Get the cufflinks ready. Wear your favorite leather loafers and slick back that hair retro Goodfellas Goomba style with your favorite manly numero uno cologne. As we delve into the bachelor universe and galactic cosmos with wild abandon. This radio show is based on my hit book published in October 2012 entitled The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, and is found at fine bookstores everywhere and online coast to coast that I know you will surely enjoy. I have spoken at colleges and universities and other groups, and so we're so glad you're here tonight. All new callers get first in line to be on the show, so to speak. And this show is packed with wisdom and fun, and I know you're going to love it. So let's start the show, as you're always on the lookout for the lovely lady female ambushers, based on the Dean Martin, Matt Helm movies in 1967, which made the ambushers and the Slay Girls retro famous worldwide. So, my friends, whether she is blonde, brunette, or a redhead, it's all good to us in the Bachelor's Den. And without further ado, let the show begin.
Yeah. General Custer. Ah, they get you with the hay.
Hey!
They get you in disguise. They get you with their lips, their hips, and their smile, their style, their eyes. They get you cheek to cheek, down the aisle and up the creek. In chase, next case, well, they're the ambushers.
Yes. Speaking of this great show is your infamous and rogue Playboy Mansion on the air, where it's always cocktail hour, where there are always lots of women and variety to keep the bachelor's focus and game on, where the bar is always open, where you can have a good smoke and a good broad. In the words of James Bond in Spy World, you will have pussy galore, and that's your choosing young Jedi bachelor night. And you know what I mean. We will party like the Rat Pack, Las Vegas style, and live large. And the secret to life is this. Be the man you always wanted to be. Be the man you were destined to be. And living well is the best revenge. Whether you stay a bachelor or someday get married and have children, remember you always do it on your terms. MGTOW, men going their own way. On manly terms, and there is no substitute for victory and no real excuse for failure, my friends. Welcome again to the Bachelor's Den. Now, back in the day, Dean Martin was part of the Rat Pack, and he was the infamous spy Matt Helm in those late 1960s movies, which I love. I own them all. And some of the promos sounded a little bit like this.
This is Dean Martin, alias Matt Helm, asking you to help me stamp out spies, or at least muss them up a little. In our new picture, The Ambushers, I got my hands full with Matahara's like Centerburger.
Skull.
Sure, Skull's got ice in it.
Janice Rule and those ever-loving sleigh girls.
Don't shoot.
They get you when you're high. They get you when you're low. They get you when you're standing still, or else when you're on the go.
Too much for one Matt Helm, so how about pitching in a little, huh? There's enough action for everybody, so bring your friends and we'll make them honorary ambushers. They're the ambushers.
They're the ambushers.
Yes, yes. I'll now read you a part of my book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. Think of this as an audiobook radio show. You have the optimists and the pessimists in life. You get half the world looking up at the stars and the other half with their head down looking at the ground with their thoughts about as clear as mud. We, as the enlightened ones, always choose to look up at the stars since there are always new things going on in the galaxy. Our eyes are always wide open as you never know what you might miss in life by not being aware of your Zen surroundings. They call that now FOMO, fear of missing out. The kind of cosmic energy in this grand book can fuel highly emotional and successful changes in your life. Meditate on this show. Hear it 100 times again and again and again. It'll get deep into your subconscious. The lines are drawn and sides will need to be chosen if you are to scale the castle walls and plant your flag in the refuge and remnants of your newfound kingdom like a brave knight from the tales of our medieval past. We know that our deeds, thoughts, and actions create our past, present, and future. We are what we create, and you create your own life. That is the secret. Let's face it, boys. It's real easy in life to get married. It's much harder to stay single as a happy-go-lucky bachelor and man about town in our complex couples world of today. My book will advise you to stay single as long as you possibly can and only get married when it makes sense to you and nobody else. Doesn't mean your employer or your family or your extended family. They're not paying your bills. They can go to hell on that level because only you would make that marriage decision and nobody else. Remember, this will change your life fundamentally forever. And if you get a divorce, it's brutally, financially devastating to you. Well, in the post-war period after World War II, the masculine figure of the Playboy Bachelor emerged as a force to be reckoned with, much like actor Marlon Brando, riding his famous motorcycle as the bad boy coming to a town near you. When the magazine Playboy came out, brilliant editor-in-chief and creator Hugh Hefner envisioned the good life for American men after the Great War, which meant the freedom to fashion a lifestyle of one's own choosing without undue social constraints. It was a world where expensive goods, cool gadgets, and sexually available women were plentiful everywhere you looked, and this concept still holds true largely for today's bachelor. It was a life where obligations were few, and the name of the game was fun and having a good time all the time. This great book has gravitas and cool cachet. Many people that you will meet in life cannot see the forest for the trees and actually end up hitting the trees. We actually avoid all of that by learning the concepts in this book so we can fly above the entire effing forest. Let's just say that this isn't our first time to the rodeo of life, gentlemen. Rest assured, this book will reach out and grab your full attention on every page. I have strong opinions, and I'd like to share them with you, the reading public. If you can handle that, then cool. And if you cannot handle that, then keep on moving as I make no apologies and speak truth and power and will not take back what I say in these pages. I may accept apologies, but I don't need to make them. How about those apples, America? You can find all that and more in The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, the retro and modern-day bachelor guide for the new Renaissance man of the millennium and beyond. It's a great book. Every man in America needs to read my book. They'll have a happier life, a more successful life, and like my book and show, read the book 100 times, listen to every episode 100 times as well. Let it sink into your subconscious. Let it become a part of you. So eventually, you can get out of the woods. Yes. And here are some current Hollywood bachelors: Zac Efron, actor Harry Styles, Chris Evans, Bradley Cooper, Brad Pitt, Al Pacino, Isaac Newton, the great scientist, Voltaire, the French philosopher, madman John Hamm, Jake Gyllenhaal, Scott Eastwood, the son of Clint Eastwood, and many, many others. Now, a guy wrote the show and said, "Bachelordom is great. Are you kidding? People ask me what's freedom like? It's the greatest. You do what you want, when you want. No one there is to nag you. You don't have a honey-do list every day. Have all the friends that you want to see and mistresses you want. Live the life you want. And what's the alternative? Homer Simpson, Al Bundy, Ralph Cramden. Everybody laughs at Raymond and every other TV dad husband in history. You stop rising oftentimes when men get married. You've hit your peak. You settle for what you can get, and you're living a slow death under increasing demands of toil, strife, and obligation as you are raising the next generation," which is a very tough job, but commendable, admirable. I've always said the men that become fathers are saints in my book. "As you increasingly wish for peace," he says, "you live under a perpetual burden of a family tying you down. Though you love them dearly, but you'd secretly sometimes rather be doing something else, which is only human nature. And aside from what questionable pleasure you get from it, the only benefit is if you're codependent, hoping and planning for retirement so that you can actually do what you want. But in the meantime, you'll be growing old with your significant." Bachelors are people who do smart things, and they don't want to make the same mistake even once. In other words, a lot of guys that you see in the suburbs or in all across America, you'll always be driving by. Maybe I'll be cruising by in my convertible or my car, and you'll wave at them, and they'll wave you back. But I always notice that the men are in the garage with the garage door up. It's the woman who's inside has left the garage, the dirtiest place in the house, to the man. He might have a beer machine in there or a Coke machine, maybe even a widescreen TV, a couple of lawn chairs, a little coffee table for he and his Goomba friends. It's also the hottest place in the house while your wife is in a nice air-conditioned house. You're outside in the garage and you're drinking your beer and hanging out with your friends. And basically, you're relegated to the backyard or the garage, and that's kind of how it is, like all across the country. And look, a lot of guys do reach their peak. Once they get married, it's kind of like even from the female side, people think, "Well, I'm married now, I'm done, and that's that." And they basically just relegate themselves, waiting to die in many ways. I hate to say it like that, but it is true in some circumstances. I mean, where's the zest to live, the zest to travel, the zest to do things together? But also, a lot of the women, too, once they know they got you, guys, and once they know you've signed on the dotted line and you aren't just there, you're legally required to be there. Did you know that? When you marry, you're legally required to be home. You're legally required to be by her side. She can dictate to you at that point if you're going to go shopping, if you're not, if you're going to get any later on tonight. She starts to dictate your life if you marry the wrong one. Now, there's a lot of great women out there. We love women on our show. I've had many great girlfriends myself, and there's some great wives. There really are. But the problem in America with our material culture, they're getting farther and farther away from us. They're few and far between, if you will. So, guys, be very careful out there who you marry and what you do, because it can be a very dicey mix, if you know what I mean. Now, I want to segue into dating apps. You know, back in the day, a man would go to the bar, the club, meet women at the discotheque, etc. Now, a lot of the dating, or at least the preliminary dating, is online. And you got to get a good online app. You got, it's like you're marketing yourself as a bar of soap, if you will, or a new car to the women that are online. And a lot of guys know this to be true. But if you ever looked at the women's photographs on these dating apps, I mean, they show like a beach scene or a scene of her children or her dog or her backyard with the pool. I guess she's hinting, if you date me, you can also be in my pool, I guess. The ones that get me are the ones that show the back of her head, showing no face, half an eyeball, half a lip. And women like to do these extreme close-ups of, like, her nostrils, her teeth, really bizarre photographs. Women take the worst photographs, and they put them on these dating sites. And as a man, as a young bachelor, you don't know what the hell you are going to get. You don't know what she is, what she looks like. I talked to a few women here in the Phoenix-Scottsdale area and a few in L.A. recently. And they told me that they're getting 200 to 300 emails per day from various dating sites for men. They're getting so many that they've actually turned off and disabled their messenger service on these apps, which gives them time to catch up with the plethora, the tsunami, if you will, of men's emails and messages to them requesting a date. Amazing. Now, this one part of my show ties in with my Thursday show in the sense that we have millions, at the very least, tens of thousands of military-age men coming into America from Central America, Mexico, Third World, etc. What America really needs, we don't need any more men in America. What we need are millions upon millions of hot chicks between the ages of 18, let's say 40, coming in from all over the world. Because there is a lack, it seems, in some areas of the country with women. As a bachelor, you will notice the philosophy of scarcity or abundance. What is your area? Are women scarce or abundant? And it used to be back in the day that you would just hit the woman over the head with a club, caveman style. But now we're digital playboys. There's digital men out there. They're online. They're on Tinder. They're on various sites. So call in tonight and tell me your experience with these digital dating sites. I would love to hear about that. Well, back in retro America, pre-COVID America, there was Gilligan's Island, and they had Ginger and Marianne. And they were called the honeybees back in the day. And a lot of men said, who do you want, Ginger or Marianne? I always said both. I like Marianne and I like Ginger. Well, on the show, they had a little combo during the TV sitcom back in the 1960s. And they said that we need them. You need us, they said, live from the honeybees.
Big future, the girls with the new sound, and here they are, the honeybees.
You need us, like a clan, need a shell, like a prisoner, need a cell, like a ding dong, need a bell.
victory. Like a queen needs a king.
I love that. This book will blow your mind, my bachelor guidebook and manifesto. I'll tell you things that go on every day in the world that you should know. And rest assured, we make no apologies. You won't believe your eyes and ears, but it's all very real and true. Here I have carefully collected and written the male wisdom of the ages, which has been handed down over time immortal from our Viking ancestors. And I will pass this on to you and all the young Jedi Masters of today and tomorrow to learn and study. Where women need 100 self-help books in any bookstore just to tell them how they feel, all the new man of the millennium needs is this one book with all of its collected manly wisdom. I will be your wordsmith and your supreme bachelor guide. We know instinctively life is not a destination, but only a constant journey. We know that the modern-day woman was made from Adam's rib in the Garden of Eden, and the knowledge you will gain by reading this book will also show you paradise, my friend. You will learn to stomp on the evil serpent holding you back, and then you will walk out of the Garden of Eden triumphantly into the real world, being a reborn man with new knowledge and ready to take on the entire world. Very cool. Very cool. The Bachelor Manifesto is edgy, insightful, funny, and even controversial. It has also been a labor of love and contains powerful visual imagery for the young bachelor of today. It will resonate with many and will be close to your heart. I'm also sure that many of the topics I talk about in this book you've probably been thinking about for quite some time along parallel lines. This book has been a revolutionary, bold manifestation of the power of the pen, and I know you will thoroughly enjoy it. The soul train of the written word has now left the station, and we are ready to party. Writing this book in Bachelor Manifesto has been a classic Von Wehhunt textbook operation. Oh, yes. And as our manly bachelors out there all know, we all wear a very manly scent when we're on the hunt or at home relaxing or at work, making our money to keep our lifestyle going. Well, you could call it numero uno cologne.
Four men on a search, each man different, living his own way, searching, discovering numero uno, the new thing in colognes for men. In all the world, there are only four basic masculine scents. Here's the best of each. Numero uno gold. Numero uno green. Numero uno red. Numero uno silver. Four numero uno colognes. All different. All wild. Find yours with a searcher kit. A jigger of each scent. Then get a full-size bottle of the one that makes it for you.
Numero uno.
Oh, yes. Yes. And it sounds a little bit like this out there across the world. Oh, yes, you will love you a long time, gents. Well, a man wrote the show and he said this. Well, being a 30-year-old myself, I'm only halfway through my life so far, so not sure how qualified I am to answer this question, so I'll give it a shot, Von Weehunt. The hardest part of being a bachelor is warding off, he says, the bloodthirsty society and married relatives and friends who constantly keep pestering me or my friends to get married, as if there are no more important topics in the world to discuss with you than when will you get married? When will you sign on the dotted line, boys? What problem do you have in getting married, they ask. Did you have a heartbreak? Did any girl dump you or break your heart and whatnot? I've always told you guys the only thing that the majority of society cares about when you go to any cocktail party or any company event, whatever, or backyard barbecue, they always ask you two or three questions. Are you married and do you have any children? And if you don't, when are you going to get married and have children? Okay. That is all society cares about. They don't care about your job. They don't care about your new car. They don't care about where you traveled. They don't care about what you had for lunch. They don't care about your social media posts. They don't care about your cool blog. They don't care about the garden you might have raised. They don't care about your dog. They don't care about what you did in high school and sports. All they care about is, are you married and are you going to have kids? I mean, you go to that's the fastest way for people to size you up. And they do that on purpose. They don't seem to be able to accept the fact that there are some humans on this planet who do not want to get blended in the crowd and who do not feel the need to adhere to society's every whim and expectation of social order. Not everybody wants to kowtow to society, because like my dad used to say, guys, you can drive through a suburb or a beautiful part of town and you'll see lots of beautiful homes, row after row, beautiful tree-lined streets and beautiful sidewalks and parks, and this looks wonderful. Out west where I'm at, we have beautiful palm trees with the backdrop of big mountains and gorgeous purple sunsets and, you know, beautiful flora and fauna everywhere. But you never know what's happening behind those doors as you're driving by. You don't know the drama going on. You don't know the angst, the toil, the arguments. You don't know. And everything looks great on the outside, but appearances can be deceiving, my friends. Apart from this, he says, there are hardly any problems living as a bachelor. Maybe sometimes you might get sick and there may not be anyone around you to take care of yourself, or you might get bored on a weekend staying at home if you're not a party animal. But frankly speaking, I do not at all feel jealous about my married friends who are on the fringe of getting divorced anyway, in most cases, or how they are settling down with their own families, which I do respect. I feel happy that they are doing what they find happiness in. As a bachelor, I get to decide what I wear at home or outside, what I eat and when I eat, what I watch and don't watch, what I like and what I dislike. I also have control over the temperature of my car and my home. Not too hot, not too cool, just right. I have complete control over my life, including the thermostat. If my company wants me to relocate, I can just pick up my suitcase and move my ass in a week at max, going to do that now for the third time in a row, he says. I don't have to deal with monthly mood swings, no offense, to my life partner. Or come home someday and she says, I'm not happy. And we have to talk and have to talk for hours and hours about nothing. It's just going to be another vicious cycle argument that leads nowhere and does not accomplish or achieve anything in my life or for the benefit of her. Though women feel great to get things off their chest, pun intended. They want to get everything off their chest. They feel great and the man feels terrible. The list goes on and on. But the bottom line is bachelor life rocks. And there is still no reason I see I'd trade it for what seems to be a lifetime of servitude and slavery. Wow, that's a great email to the show somebody had sent in. And it's true. I mean, haven't you ever been in a friend's house? You're, man, it's so stuffy here. It's like 100 degrees. Well, my wife always wants it warm, he'll tell me. She's always cold. And I'm going, you know, it's 105 degrees outside here in Phoenix. Why is it 100 inside your house? Well, she's always cold. So you have to live with that. You better make sure that you're also compatible on the thermostat. Because if you like it 75 and she likes it 90, that's a problem. Big problem. And you guys got to sort through all this stuff. Now, you don't want to be a born loser, right? And back in the day, the movie trailers, the 1960s, I love those retro movies, all the biker films and with, you know, Peter Fonda, Nancy Sinatra, and all the rest, even Jack Nicholson. Well, a lot of them sounded like this. Back in pre-COVID America, when the bachelor was on a bike, cruising through town, being the bachelor king.
This chick's out for kicks and in for trouble with the born losers.
Just how is the mom initiated?
By getting it from everybody.
We're not coming out of orbit for 3 days.
Ah! Look at this! 600 Somalis!
These are the born losers, the sickest sickle gang that ever terrorized the town while the law stood helpless.
If only one of us had the guts to just cut them down.
I've been wanting to crack at you from the beginning.
Are you planning on fighting or talking me to death?
Mr. District Attorney, any truth to the rumors that the girls will refuse to testify?
Remember, all you need is one witness to obtain an indictment.
Born losers, and they know it.
Please, don't do that.
How about a pretty please on your knees?
On your knees?
Billy Jack, I'm going to kill you if it's the last thing I do.
Oh, yes. Another man writes the show and had this to say. I've been both married and now as I enter my 60s, he says, as a Silver Fox bachelor, I'm single again. I admit that I have a lot of freedoms that I didn't realize I had lost when I got married originally. And there is no way to anticipate this before getting married. So for the single guys out there who have never been married, I try to explain that this is one aspect of having a wife you may not have considered. Really good wives, he says, are like unicorns, a mythical animal that many say exists. But personally, I have never seen one. Good wives, like unicorns, are very few and far between, as I said in my monologue early in the show. The man who really truly believes he's found a good wife is still taking a huge gamble on his future happiness. However, if a man has never been married, there's no way he can know this. Thus, he is still holding to the same ideal that we all held before our first relationships. Since my divorce, there have been a few times when I have been really lonely. On the other hand, there were plenty of times during my marriage when I faced the same loneliness. When I stopped to meditate on it a little, I realized it is far easier to deal with the loneliness than it is to have gotten married, only to find out later that one has hooked himself up with a crazy borderline chick, one who did a first-class job of hiding her true self before the marriage. Being single and lonely is far better and superior than being married and lonely per that guy. I agree with him. And I've told you guys before, if you want to get rid of loneliness in your apartment, your condo, your house in the suburbs, your ranch, wherever, get a dog. A dog, a faithful companion, will alleviate, I'm telling you, 80 to 90% of your loneliness. A dog will hang out with you. And get some new friends, too. Get some new beer buddies. Get some new guys you can chase skirt with on the weekends. Guys you can hit some strip clubs with, have some fun with. Guys that want to go biking or ride your motorcycles or ATV vehicles or go to the lake. Meet some new friends. Learn some new skills. Okay? Learn some new tricks, guys. Because loneliness can be managed, can be beat. And really a dog is, a lot of dogs are looking for a great home, and it's a great companion. Dogs will watch a movie with you, they'll chill with you, and they're always there to love you, and they have unconditional love, unlike many of the women in our lives. Unfortunately, there's a lot of great women in America. The problem is they're picked up and snatched up before you ever get the chance to meet them. Think about that. Women that are great get picked up very quickly, and they know it. In high school, guys are looking at them. In college, freshman year, guys are looking at them as, I want to hook up with that. And they zero in, and I'm telling you, guys will buy those rings. They'll run to the mall, and before you even have a chance to call her up for a date, she'll show you her big carat diamond ring on her finger, shimmering and sparkling, and show it right in your face. Some guy beat you to the punch in a major way. And I'm telling you guys, if you like a chick, you better make your move, because other guys will take out that credit card and they will buy that girl a diamond ring. And if you like her, but if you don't, it's like they say on the street, boys, smash or pass, and keep moving. Keep moving.
Tu n'es qu'un appareil à sous, pire, un appareil à sourire à ce jeu. Je ne joue pas, je n'aime pas cet opéra de quatre sous, pire. Cet air que tu as de sourire, je ne pourrais qu'en souffrir. On ne gagne que des gros sous, pire, à vouloir s'entassouvir. Tout ce jeu ne sait quoi d'animal en soi qui nous fait prendre à tous nos sous, pire. Je te dis ça sans sourire, je ne pourrais qu'en rougir. Tu n'es pas meilleur ou pire que ceux qui pour moi soupirent. Mais ce jeu ne m'aime pas, tu ne m'aimes pas. J'y perdrai le sommeil et le sourire jusqu'à mon dernier soupir, et ne pourrai qu'en mourir.
Well, that was wild. That's for the Bachelorette Brigitte Bardot back in some 1960s French pop. I pulled up. I have a huge studio board full of thousands of promos and songs. But, yeah, guys, now our Thursday show is every Thursday is our hard-hitting political show. This is my fun show where we take it down a few notches and we talk about The Bachelor in America today and The Bachelor around the world. This show will always be the first Tuesday of the month. So when you call, just know that we will talk about all things which affect the man's life today, whether it be chicks, dating, relationships, working out, diet, sex, God forbid, vice, the law, the economy, politics, the court system in America, child support, kids, the nuclear family, traditional life versus the wild and hedonistic bachelor life, pros and cons, work, war and peace, and everything else in between. When you call, have an angle how your story or quote or call pertains to the Bachelor of America today, whether he is never married, just divorced, or thinking of it as a MGTOW way to go forward in life. Rest assured, we will cover a lot of ground on this show. Now, MGTOW is real big right now. It's for men going their own way. There's a lot of videos on YouTube about it and other websites dedicated to MGTOW. MGTOW is basically the 21st century version of the 1960s Swinging Bachelor. So I've kind of meshed the two because MGTOW is sort of the acronym that we like acronyms in this century. We like to abbreviate everything. And so it's MGTOW. And so a lot of guys are MGTOW. They're going their own way. They're doing their own thing. And that's a positive thing. I always say, until you find yourself, guys, until you figure it all out, until you get your career going or whatever. And I always say that all men land somewhere in life. You're going to land in a state. You're going to land in a city or a town. You're going to land in a career. You're going to land in something, somewhere, of your own choosing or not, or by happenstance, or it may just fall in your lap, and you got to run with it. And you make your life as best as you possibly can. You know, and people have asked me for years for where I got the inspiration to write my book in the first place, or even for this radio show. You know, and let me tell you, I used to always be talking to my high school or my fraternity friends back in the day. And I had friends back in college who said, man, you got to write a book about this stuff. You got to write this. And I go, I told them, hold it. I've already started writing my notes back in college. The book was a journey where I would catalog dates and relationships and women and archetypes. I researched the history of the Bachelor, where the Bachelors were at in war and peace. And don't forget, most Bachelors fight America's wars. It's not the married guys, it's the Bachelors. So you can thank your freedom for the Bachelors, who were the colonial Minutemen of their day, who didn't have a wife and kids in many cases. Some did. Many did not. Many grabbed their musket and they could take off into the forest to get those redcoats, right? And now, when I was a young guy growing up, I used to love listening to AM radio because, to me, that was the alternative news. I watched all the mainstream stuff, too, but I used to love radios. And so I used to tune the dial at night, and I would go on AM radio, and I would find the Art Bell show, and even guys prior to Art Bell. And Art Bell, of course, was on the Coast to Coast radio show. And even Tom Likas on his L.A. radio show that went nationwide, and the great show that was. And there was a lot of other guys that were on the radio, the early Alex Jones. But earlier than that, even like, you know, way back there in the 80s. And these are my early radio influencers. And I used to listen to all these shows. And you would catch a show once in a while with a static. It'd be some guy calling in on a Bachelor show or talking about his wife or his girlfriend. And those shows are hard to find today, but I used to love. Back in the day, AM radio was the Wild West. You could do anything you wanted or say anything you wanted on the radio airwaves. And it was awesome because they were low-budget radio stations, low-budget radio shows, and they were really fun. And I used to love – I would listen to those shows till, and they always came on late at night, like midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and I would get very little sleep. I would get up and go to school the next day, but I had the knowledge in my head of a lot of those radio shows. Now, I also broadcasted here live in Phoenix at KFNX 1100 a.m., for many of you who don't know all that. And I also had a segment on my radio show here in Phoenix, same kind of an AM format, where I talked about The Bachelor and my book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. But all really good stuff. And I thought what I would do right now is kind of go over kind of where we're at today a little bit. And Bachelor of the New Millennium and Beyond, your Mr. Mojo Rising, as Jim Morrison would say. Now, we have come a long way, baby, in America, right? But I'll read you a little bit about this and kind of where we're at right now. Bachelor of the 2000s is a chapter. Y2K year 2000 came by without a hitch or even a blip on the computer screen without any hype or malfunction. And then this millennium was born. The Bachelor was cognizant of the fabulous 1950s, the hip sexual revolution of the 1960s, the disco ball in cool 1970s, the wild and crazy 1980s, and the hip but politically correct and social minefield of the 1990s. And now he was in full adulthood and reborn into the new man of the millennium. This is now his time. He can be anything he wants, either a retro 1950s madman guy or a retro 1970s guy, and both are cool since all fashion has come again full circle now, since what was considered old is now new once again. He can be his own fashionista and even eye candy for the many ladies in his life. He can do whatever he wants to do, and he loves his newfound power. Social convention has been put on hold and on the back burner, and there is no pressure now to get married or have kids like never before. He can point to recent government statistics at cocktail parties that no one can refute as facts or object to him about the perils of marriage and divorce lawyers, the costs involved in child support, and even in the dating game. Political correctness run amok and other societal distortions that he can mention with a nice gleam in his eyes saying, "I told you so." Isn't that true? Let me grab my shot of my bourbon here. Hang on. I've got the fire raging here. I've got a couple shots of bourbon in my cigar at my desk, in my red velvet jacket reading this tonight. The Bachelor can basically say all that and more. No one dares refute his contentions. And though the Bachelor loves his family and may want one someday, he doesn't necessarily want or have the insatiable or irresistible need to create one out of thin air or on a whim while being forced to by society at large. He doesn't have the burning desire to carry on his DNA anymore, since there are so many problems in the world and risk having a family. Plus, it is being extremely expensive now and even litigated on a daily basis. The Bachelor asked himself this question. Can he really even afford it anymore? As he ponders these soulful questions, he can still be single or decide to get hitched later per his own manly schedule. He can stay in corporate America or start his own business or become an entrepreneur. The sky is the limit, and there are no self-imposed restrictions on him. That's true, guys. You know, I mean, you got to look at this and go, you know, people always said, yes, every generation had their cross to bear, but things truly are different now. Your dollar is losing value daily with inflation. The cost of living is going to eat your lunch. Some of you guys can barely afford yourselves, and the cost of living is only going higher. I know a one-bedroom apartment now in Phoenix was around, a decent one's around $1,200 a month, and guess what? They're going up to like $1,350 to $1,500, and the same is true in L.A. A guy called me from San Diego. A one-bedroom studio in San Diego near downtown is $1,800 for about 400 square feet. That's almost $2,000 per month going down the drain. You get no equity, but it's just the cost to live and to exist there in San Diego. Now, they may be cheaper in Missouri or Nebraska or Oklahoma or Indiana, other parts of the Midwest or the country, but also everything is relative. The book goes on to state, the future is wide open and it's so bright. The Bachelor still has to wear those cool beach and biker shades. The future is now. He is ready to bask in the sunshine with his new millennium female playmates like Austin Powers, sexy shagadelic fembots from the popular movie series. He stands proudly on the large shoulders and foundation of all the great bachelors and men who have come before him, and he can truly design his own future for the betterment of all mankind. Yes, yes, yes. Guys, I told you before, you design your own future. You design your own thing in life, and you should always drive your own car. Yeah. Baby, if she's hot enough, guys, she can drive your car. And with that, let's go to the Irish Pirate, our tech wizard on the show. Get his thoughts tonight. Irish Pirate, are you there tonight?
Yes, I am, Mr. Von Weehunt. And, wow, I love getting in on groundbreaking operations these days. Those are hard to find. The world is too mean of a place to allow things to move forward these days. So I'm at home, like I love to be, on a good Tuesday night. And it takes me a while sometimes to be able to get to where I can settle down and get to things.
I hear you.
And, of course, there's always stories going on. You've heard some of the crazy ones. I have a lot of friends, for example, right now that are flipped out over the fact that when I heard, for example, that meat in the supermarket was magnetic, I actually whipped out a magnet and went to the while I was in the supermarket and checked it out, you know, and found out the answers to that question. And I'm like that. And I'm looking at it from the angle of bachelorhood. I mean, there's some politics involved there, but I'm looking from the angle of when I hear about something, I don't just take their word for it. I want to check it out. I want to see what's going on. And to me, that was crazy.
Yeah. And how many years have you been, you've been a bachelor most of your life, I think, all of your life, right? And tell us about some of your, any good relationships that stand out. And what's your take on the current state of American women, Irish? That's a very loaded topic, but I've talked about it before on this show.
Okay. I haven't been a bachelor all my life. I've been divorced a few times, put it that way. But my interest in the American woman has probably kept me coming back, at least looking for more. I'm very disappointed at the moment with the way that women traditionally have found themselves, and we've talked about that a little bit. They have been deluded into believing that security is priority one. When that, number one, they didn't have it to begin with. But there was, once they became out there in various cultures, they, you know, whether it's your quince años or your bar mitzvah or whatever it might be, once you're out there, there's no guarantee of anything. And every step you take, you know, I mean, we only hold a little bit of faith that the floor is going to be able to hold it up. You know, no surprises are on the way first thing in the morning. And, but yet, the men have been trained in America to look at this as something that they can go tackle and create a better faith, a better way to live. But the women cannot, for whatever reason. They're not allowed to do that. They're hunting for it, and they're never allowed to find it. And I really don't understand that. I noticed that even when I was in high school. I saw what boyfriends and girlfriends did to each other and thought about living in a cave for a long time.
Right.
Sometimes I wonder whether or not I should have done that. But I knew my hormones were kicking in, and there was the need that I had that I was going to be paired eventually. I didn't see myself as an eternal bachelor. I saw myself as eternally hopeful and coming from the angle as a bachelor to try and move toward some place where there could be a happy medium. Because obviously no relationship's going to be perfect. But I agreed when I, for example, when I read the Bible, I realized that it's probably more appropriate to be in a relationship, preferably married, or at least trying to make that happen, if it can. Because that's where you've got most of the bases covered. Because not only do you have a standing within your four walls, but you have a standing outside your four walls. Marriage was, the way we view it, was embedded in the Augustinian years around the 700s. And it was primarily to protect children. That's where they came out with that kind of stuff. But in so doing, they had to give privileges to the people that were raising them, that were creating them, if you will. So those privileges interest me. because those come from society, or at least they're supposed to. The IRS takes away $1,500 a year, I think, if you declare yourself married. But
yes.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. So it's funny that it's a more secure situation if you are married and it is functioning to the outside world, but then the outside world doesn't give you the same respect back. And the same thing is true, male to female. Same thing is true while you're growing up. But, the women are supposed to be there for you. Now I'm all grown up and I'm looking for that woman and they haven't been trained or have been untrained. And it's mm-hmm. the same trick the outside world has done, for example, with the IRS. I never came up with that expectation that it absolutely was going to be that way. There's a little bit of a wonder that goes on, saying, I know it's been crazy in the past, but maybe there's always some hope for the next one, that type of thing. And so mm-hmm. it's really hard to just say, okay, I'm done. Because number one, I won't give the institutions any credit for trying to stop me. I think that's ridiculous.
Right.
Who would want to live in a society where they look down on families
yes.
and raising children and things like that? Even if you yourself don't want to participate in that, I mean, the society you live in has to at least promote that or it can't continue.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Yeah. Therefore,
very good point.
And
my
children, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. The way you treat your children is basically, in my opinion, the way that your society can be valued. I think we've talked about it maybe once or twice before. The Iroquois were one of many, but the Iroquois specifically saw that children were the only way that you could see a future. And so any rule, any law that they created in their society that didn't improve the situation for seven generations down the line became null and void. You couldn't make that into a rule or a law in their community.
I like that.
And I wish we had something like that on the books. Technically, mm-hmm. we're supposed to be God-fearing and worried about posterity, the true meaning of the word, which means what are your children going to get. And for some reason, we stopped doing that very recently. One of the ways we found that was, I think it was here, we talked about the value of, I'm going to use the word human loosely, human life. For example, a hiker gets lost out here in the mountains. So how much mm-hmm. community money are we going to spend looking for them? How much resources are we going to give away to try and recover something that might be lost? How much value mm-hmm. intrinsically is one person to the rest of us? Well, that since around the 70s, 80s, somewhere in there, has been dropping faster than the inflation rate has been going up. In other words, you think your money is losing value? No, people mm-hmm. are. And that's sad because you and I don't believe that. You and I would like to have people that can actually help us move forward, build a stronger
yes.
Network of individuals that have common goals. They don't have to all be the same
absolutely.
With everyone. And so, yeah, and again, this comes circles back right to how I see women. I'm still looking for women in my network. And I do have some that are really not romantic interests at the moment. I mean, it's sad but true. And
right.
I don't let that get me down. I don't let that get me down. If someone really only qualifies as a friend or only qualifies as a business partner, so be it. I don't need to suddenly convert that. And many people I've known growing up have always made that mistake. And that's both men and women, that they just can't leave people in their best situation as they relate to them. They can't just leave friends as friends. They can't just leave business partners as business partners all the time when they're really incapable of going any further than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish society would understand the value of people in the light that everybody has something to offer, which is kind of what I'm insinuating here, the main topic. Everybody has something to offer. The question is, what is it? What's it going to take to be able to, if someone is kind of a gold nugget, what's it going to take to mine them in your life?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that simple. You can't just bring them in and they suddenly start working for you or, you know, start getting along with you. I mean, there's some way things that have to be done. And this is where, again, Von Wiehunt, you and I are into the art side of things. And
yes,
I've given you a couple of stories where if the art matches, there must be other things too. In one case, it mm-hmm. was my music that attracted a mate, or a couple of times there was a place in Camarillo, California. Camarillo is a very interesting city because it's at the time that I was there, it's almost like Australia, where the rich would party with the poor, and they mm-hmm. didn't see the lines that many people do with economics, and so therefore the women there were much more relatable, much more meetable. I found that mm-hmm. that was the place for me to hunt for girlfriends and such, because they didn't mm-hmm. have the stigmas that society was putting on them. Part of it is they have a mental institution that is a big draw economically. Therefore, if you drive south of Camarillo, you're probably not going to see a lot of cops. They're a little worried they might actually have to do some work. And that's usually where I could take my car on my way out to the beach, going about 100 miles an hour, no big deal, because I knew there wouldn't be anybody there running a radar.
Right.
A good way to check and see if my car was working. So I liked Camarillo. It's always had a bunch of good stories for me. My favorite there was the kind of place that had live band, pinball machines, sawdust on the floor. That was my kind of place to be able to find people I got along. Many of them were, like I said, professionals would be working right alongside someone who was barely getting there. And it didn't matter. People who are members of live bands would come to this particular joint because it was so laid back. And all the places around, like in the Ventura area or Port Hueneme, they were, once you get too close to the beach, everything was too formal. Everything was too retail-oriented and didn't have that informal thing that I really liked. And so, let's see. I remember one time. This is one of the funnier stories. It was Halloween night, and a woman was dressed as a cop, and she called herself a member of the sex police. And she's carrying a condom in a card. She's carrying a condom in a card. She said, "Here to serve and protect," showing you the card.
That's
so
great.
So many guys were running up to her going, "Bust me, bust me, bust me." And I'm going like, that's not going to get her attention. That's funny.
Right.
I went up to her. I said, "State's witness."
I love it.
Let's show people how to protect. So,
That's great.
I like that kind of a joint where where you can just, and any place I've ever been where I could do rock and roll and video games and meet women all at the same time. I mean, that's probably the big three when I was growing up.
Oh, hell yeah. And, of course, the motto of the police is protect. Yeah, the police motto is protect and serve. And I like what you said, Irish, about America is the foundation of the nuclear family. My book is not anti-marriage at all. I tell guys, if you meet the right girl, go for it. But the premise of my book is that most men today are going to be bachelors for more years in their adult years than being married, because the average marriage lasts 5 to 7 years, and most men, say, are bachelors for the majority of their life. And having said that, yeah, I agree with you. We need to live in a society where ideally, the ideal of marriage and all that and children and the nuclear family is very good, very positive. And again, I tell some hardcore guys that write me on the show, that's good for you as the bachelor. You know what? All the competition, number one. And number two, you want to live in a society that's going to be thinking at least a few generations down the road. But I like what you said about that. That's spot on point, man.
Well, and this leads to a very interesting thing, because as we've noticed, for example, that who are gaining more of the doctorate degrees this time in American history, it's women. About 63% mm-hmm. of people going for higher degrees are women now instead mm-hmm. of men, and that's turned around. That's the way that I think that the globalists have decided that they want us to try and break out our families. And my response to that as a potential bachelor then is, all right, if there are going to be more women professionals out there that they did the foregoing of trying to catch somebody when they were young that was going to lead them economically, for example, all right, so be it. So am I, in my own mind, a reasonable catch for a woman who has got her stuff together and hasn't had the time to be able? And the answer is, I've made myself, I think, more interesting to women who have gone out and made a business or you've really done some unique things. And so I don't think I'm left out, because even though I really appreciate the old-fashioned nature of America, that doesn't mean I'm left out right now. There's still hope for me. Because the more someone
absolutely, there's always hope until the day a man died. There's always hope. Some men don't get married until they're 60 or 70, and they were a bachelor for 30 or 40 years. I think Tony Randall, the actor, was one of them. There's several I know in Hollywood that did that. And I've known guys myself that were a bachelor. They never found anyone until they reached about the age of 60. And voila. And the other thing that this country has to get over, in my view, is all this crap about being age appropriate. You know, historically, it was always the older man and the younger woman. There is nothing wrong with that. But a lot of people sneer and snicker and go, oh, is that his daughter? Or, you know, look, a lot of younger women, I hate to burst everyone's bubble, they dig older guys. Yes, they like the security. Yes, they like the money. But I've met a lot of women who go, I am tired of guys my own age. They are so immature. All they want to do is play video games. Yeah, they might be able to do more push-ups. Their body might be a little bit tighter. But I've had women tell me, it's not worth it. They go, I'm trying to get the man's attention, and he wants to play video games for 10 hours, a 10-hour marathon with his friends. And he's got no money, or he's got no career, he's got no job. He might have a cool car, but she goes, the older men are more worldly, they have more money, they are more well-traveled. And from a female point of view, too, it's kind of funny. She goes, they put less demands on me to have sex. But what's funny is she says, women have told me that I want to have more sex with them because they're not always bugging me about it. It's kind of like reverse psychology. So the older men have figured it out. And if they're not, you know, so I have no problems. And I applaud that, because over in South America, Asia, Europe, very, very common. But in America, a lot of the women here will snicker and sneer, because if you marry a woman that's more than 5 years younger than you, they think you're robbing the cradle, which is so silly and stupid. Your thoughts, Irish?
It also works the other way around. If there are going to be more professionals out there, and I'll be honest, because I've been more mature for my age as I've been growing up, the typical women that I've been around doing a little shopping have tended to be older. Usually
nothing wrong with that either.
Me.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think it's because I don't want to say this. I'm an intellectual. I'm one of those people who can actually, I'm well-rounded enough that whatever it is they're into, then I can appreciate what they're into. And so therefore it shows up over time. It's not one of those things where I suddenly meet someone and goes whirlwind. That usually is with someone who's a little younger than me. But
yeah.
In the cases of developed relationships, they tend to go slower when the woman's older than me, but they also tend to go in a non-destructive direction from my end. I'm not looking to try and own the thing. You know, maybe there is something with the extra life experience that the woman, even if I see myself as a boss of the household or boss in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't matter because I like to delegate. That's one of the reasons I don't mind older women, because they can handle the delegation. So I literally can ask, what are the types of things you like to do for a relationship? I'll handle the things that you don't want to do, because that's compatibility, you know, to the best of my ability. And the sad part is when both people don't want to do something. That's when you realize that's not going to be a very working relationship. Now, that brings up a very interesting, because I like running compatibility ideas and things like that. I'm the scientist. And so mm-hmm. we like to think that men and women, I like to look at it as a phase angle. If both of you are heading the same direction, the difference in degrees of separation, if you will, on a compass would be zero if you're both headed in the same direction. Problem there is you're never going to
yes.
meet each other. If that's true. I mean, those lines do not intersect. However, being opposites doesn't work either. That tends to drive as many troubles, because if people are opposite, the problem is you don't know what's going to work when everything is going right. And then when
right.
people are too alike, you don't know what to do if something's going wrong. So you got to have a little bit of separation, but not too much. I have found that when it comes to that quote-unquote phase angle, it's 90 degrees. That gives you an angle. The 45 is the general direction both should be going when they're together. And in most cases, one of them is better than the other at handling a task or a project. And that gives the relationship the ability to find out at least early on who's going to do what without having to ask too many silly questions. So I like that. In the cases where I've ended up getting divorced, we were too opposite. The opposites attracted because when we had, for example, common enemies, we could fight them. But the problem
mm-hmm.
is then when everything's kosher, opposites don't work well together. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. over time, if you are solving your problems, you're going to move towards more kosher. You're going to move towards things that
yes.
you get along with most of the time. There will always be the hardships that you're going to have to fight together, and you're going to need that. You know, that's usually where economics
Absolutely.
Come in. That's usually where politics come in. There's something always that's going to happen around you that's not cool. The neighbor that you didn't get along with, or, in trouble with the IRS maybe. I mean, somebody's going – you're going to have to be able to fight that together. But in general
yes. –
compatibility is it's closer to zero than 180 in most cases, but 90 degrees ideally is your best quote unquote phase reference. And knowing this, now this is amazing because, for example, my latest ex-wife is scared to death of me being a scientist. Everything that's out there, whether it be the handwriting analysis we've talked about.
Yes.
She said, I don't like you do the Enneagram, which is the oldest known personality. You could call it test, I guess, or where they actually wrote down people actually have definitive personalities that we can compare to see what works and what doesn't.
Yes.
And that was done by the Greeks. They had nine basic types and knew the derivation of each somehow. I don't know where they got it. That's one thing I never studied. As
mm-hmm.
always, though, with all sciences, people go overboard on this stuff. But the opposite is what I got accused of. That basically, with my ex-wife, everything that was scientific that she didn't know, she called it like magic. She called it, you know, you worship that science or whatever it is. And I'm telling you, handwriting analysis is not tea leaves. Myers-Briggs is not tea leaves. It's a hammer. It's a tool. And that's all it can be. And you can only use it for what it's good for. And people, even when astrology says people are going to be perfect matches, that doesn't guarantee it.
That's right. That's right.
Irish,
where you're headed to.
Great call, man, and I like your points of wisdom. Thank you so much for calling the show. We appreciate you, man.
Hey, I'll be working on another music package for you real soon.
I can't wait. Yes.
Computer's got a brand new operating system. We're ready to go.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I had to learn it. It's taken me about 10 days to actually get to where I can use my computer like I've done before because it's so different.
Oh,
but
awesome.
I like that. At my age, which is 57, I can learn new things like computer operating system. It's not a big deal. It takes time. Maybe
right.
A little more time. Than when I was half
well,
back.
I always
but
enjoy
I
your
it.
Fun packs, man. They're awesome.
So, like I said, I'm looking forward to that. I have to do it every so often. I need an outlet like you for my creative ideas, and I want to be able to help somebody with theirs. I don't want to constantly come up with all the originating material. I want to be able to relate something to something else, which we'll do in another phone call. How to relate something?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. I'll pre-limit saying my daughter one time actually told me, I want to send you handwriting samples of my boyfriend's. And so I ran those handwriting samples, and that'll definitely be worth talking about later on. But
absolutely.
In the meantime, yeah, we're going to get some music in. We're going to, any other audio, and I'll keep throwing out the ideas that I keep stumbling into. And I want to be that tech wizard. I said I wanted to be there, and I need to keep proving that by giving you stuff.
Yep, I keep sending you stuff, and I appreciate you, man. Folks, the Irish Pirate calls into the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy radio show. Irish, have a wonderful night, bud. Thank you, man.
Indeed.
We can't wait to get his new his pack here of information. The fun packs are going to be fantastic. We're going to get Brett the Surfer on here in a minute, too. Irish had a great point that I wanted to bring up. I call it the 80-20 rule. In other words, a lot of girlfriends are like in the 60 to 70 percentile. But to me, as I always call it the 80-20 rule. It's a very universal rule in business. In other words, if I didn't get along with a woman with ease and grace and charm without having to really work that hard, you know how like you're with your best friend and everything is effortlessly done. You know, what one doesn't think of, the other one does, right? You get my drift? Well, with women, they need to be in the 80 percentile category or higher for marriage. I can deal with 20%. Squabbles or fights or drama episodes, or one day she's a drama queen. You got to, as a man, we all know women are emotional creatures and there's emotional intelligence there too. And you take the bad with the good and you have to deal with at least 20% to me was doable. The problem for many men, including me, was that a lot of the women hit the 60, 65, 70 percentile. And they never quite made the 80%. In other words, we argued more than 20% of the time, or little petty squabbles with things that, look, when you get married to somebody, it only gets worse. It doesn't get any better. So to me, if you start at 20%, if a man gets married, it's going to grow to probably 30 or 40% in his lifetime. But at least he's starting from a great baseline foundation of 20%, where 80% of the time you do get along with her. And it's also very important to have the same politics or a similar religion, similar views on things, put it that way, similar views on current events and the news of our day. You don't have to be carbon copies of each other, but you need someone that's going to work for you. Also, just some of my general thoughts are a lot of American women don't work with their man. They work against their man. Women need to get back into the methodology of working with their man, being a helper, as God intended, if you will, to help out their man, to be Adam's rib, to be a helper and to assist. And not plot against him and not work against him and not look for things to nag him about or chastise him about.
There are times to lay low, and there are times to kick it in gear. Some women are on the go 24/7. They're so busy, they can't see the forest for the trees. That's also not good or healthy. You need some downtime. You need to be thinking about things and reflect. And there are times to kick on the afterburners. But I call it the 80-20 rule, where if we're getting along 80% of the time, it's going to be, she'll be a great girlfriend. And possibly that, to me, was what I call wife material. Anything below 80% was close, 75 percentile, very close. And then it becomes a judgment call, that little gray area or that no man's land, if you will, between 75 and 80%. That's how I always viewed it. And it worked like a charm because it really is true that every man will tell you that what you see when you date, it's totally different once you sign in blood on the dotted line. And put that in your pipe and smoke it, America. There's a great band back in the day, and maybe you had a girlfriend, and maybe she was super hot. Was she a cherry bomb, boys? Was she the cherry bomb in the neighborhood? Love that. That's a cover that was sent into me, but I grabbed the wrong one. So here's the real one I want you to hear by the Runaways. That was the Cherry Bomb cover, I'm sorry, that was sent into the show by an L.A. band. A lot of people contact the show, and they send me MP3s and promos. I kind of dug that one. Let's go over to Brent the Surfer here, surfing on his surfboard. Married with children, happily married. Brett, how are you doing tonight?
How are you, Vaughn? Yeah, this is Cherry Bomb. Got to love that. So that
Cherry Bomb. I dated a few cherry bombs back in the day. I love that lyrics. Hello, Daddy. Hello, Mom. I'm your cherry bomb. Love that. And those chicks are hot singing that too. The original video will blow your mind, man, by the Runaways. Love that stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
That reminds me of Newport Beach and some good waves there.
Oh, right. Yes.
Summers, you know. But how are things going tonight, man? Just keeping it real.
Hey, said, we are, you know, we are building up our audience for the show. A lot of people don't, and I've plastered this everywhere, but people know the Thursday show because I have almost 7 years now of broadcasting on Thursday. So we got that etched in their mind. And now we're trying to segue and shift gears a little bit and get people ready for the Tuesday show, first Tuesday of every month. Now, I sent out about 10 reminders to people. Of course, you guys got them also. I know people got busy over the 4th. They had a few cervezas. Things happen, right? And a few brain cells get killed. And I said, I need to send out this reminder this morning to everybody and do it the day of so they won't procrastinate. And so we'll see who calls in. I always sit back, but I have tons of material. And I try out some different things, too, on this show and try out some new promos and some new things that I've found. And I have lots of material, man. So the show's going really, really good. I think, in my view, a lot of people, we have what America needs. I'll put it this way. We need more, far more fun-loving bachelors. We have a plethora of very serious, politically minded young men, which is wonderful and good, and I like that too. Don't get me wrong. We love them. They're the vanguard of America. And they are very serious. They are very into politics. And I have noticed that in talking to them, if you're not talking about something of life or death situation, constant doom and gloom, constant zombie apocalypse, they're not too interested. They're very, and so this is a show that they like. Some of them dig it. And I tell them all, you can't be at war with everybody all the time. We have Thursday for that, to go to war. That's my go-to-war show, if you've noticed. Yeah. I go to war on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
So all we get bruise in me, right? And all this intel, I get emails from, military guys and, foreign governments and all kinds of people send me stuff. And the thing is I try to vet all of it before I put it on the air. So when I get things on the Thursday show, I'll go on the internet and I want to vet them with independent news. If I can't vet it, I will then tell people this came across my desk and I cannot vet it. Wink, wink, nod, nod. And in other words, it's for what it's worth. It may be true.
Yeah.
It may be partially true. And so I think in talking to people on this show, Brett, a lot of guys need to look, there's a lot of people having a lot of hard times in America, and they don't have the time or the luxury, I get it, to be a fun-loving bachelor traveling or seeing their – it's a life-or-death struggle for some people. COVID affected a lot of people, their psyche, in my view, very detrimental ways. So the people that did COVID have got crimes against humanity against them, Nuremberg style, in my book. Because what you did to the psyche of the world is a huge crime in and of itself. I think it's smart and healthy to get away from the hardcore politics once in a while and take a step back and look at where we've come and look at the bachelor lifestyle in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. And look at how fun life was in pre-COVID America. So this show will talk a little bit about politics, but it's also about relationships and women and rock and roll and everything else, right? So it's kind of an FM/AM show. That's kind of where we're going with this. But over time, we are going to build a huge base of fans. I just know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you've got a lot of single guys out there, and I like that 80-20 rule. That's so true. And
isn't that true? No one's saying that but me. That's my own invention, baby. I said the 80-20 rule. It's in business and relationships because all companies are whores and they're all negotiating their own price. And the same applies to some women in our society. The women of America are great, but let's face it, they're all negotiating at an early age for what's called a BBD, a bigger, better deal. you as the man always have an opportunity to show them a bigger, better deal. Right? We do.
Yeah.
And it's our job to show them, hey, stick with me. Come with me down this road. You'll have a better deal. You know, it's all in the sale, my friend. And we sell ourselves daily, right?
You have to, you know, you always be selling, always be closing in a good way, you know, and, you know, but,
that's
kind of the secret.
Well, you were a bachelor for many years, but how's your wife and kids? How are things going on with you? And how was your fourth, man?
Fourth was great. You know, it was a fun time. Went and saw Roger Klein and the Peacemakers at a Peoria Sports Complex. I don't know if you were there.
Oh, that's right.
Were you there?
I was not there.
Did you go out? Yeah, it was. But it was a couple different bands and one just a killer, awesome fireworks show. So took the family
that
out
was
there.
At the
and,
Sports Complex?
What's that?
That was at the Peoria Sports Complex?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Just, yeah, it was really an awesome fireworks show. I mean, it and at the end, it was just so smoky, man. I had to turn on the brights to see, you know, but great
wow.
time.
Wow. Was it packed?
Whether
was it sold out?
Married, yeah, it was pretty crowded. Probably almost full.
Wow.
Well, wasn't full, but it was almost, it was pretty close. So it was
mm-hmm.
a beautiful fireworks show and some great bands out there jamming, but be Independence Day and thankful to be in America and you know, if you're single, if you're married, you know, keep fighting that good fight and each day is a blessing. So you got to live each day to the fullest, you know, and grab on to it and make the best of it, you know, because life is fragile and short, you know, so enjoy it.
I totally agree, man. It's way too fast. It's almost scary when I look back and I go, I never thought I'd make it this far. No, just kidding. You know, we live very long in my life, but I'm like going, wow, man, it's like pretty amazing stuff, you know?
Yeah,
it's like it's all over the map. I think the quality, I think Irish Party had a lot of good points, as you do too, in the sense that the quality of women has gone down in America. There's some great women, but they're more and more like a diamond in the rough. The quality has gone down. They're all tatted up. They're all pierced now. Some are in the drug. It's hard to find just a decent girl, like the girl next door. Hard to find that. Now, I know life's tough for a lot of people, and that's part and parcel of it. Like I said before, what they've done to our economy, what they've done, they've gutted that. They've brought out COVID. Don't want to get too political here on the show, but that does affect The Bachelor. And that the dating scene's all effed up now. Like I was saying before in my monologue, the women, there's a lot of strange women with strange, outrageous entitlement complexes on the dating apps. They are asking
for. Yeah, it's been a long time
for me. Yeah, and I will elaborate. I will tell you. You look at their picture. What they want is a Brad Pitt millionaire from Hollywood. And she's barely a 2.5 on the Richter scale. I'll be brutally blunt. She's not even a 5. And from anyone's category, pretty open-minded guy, and I'm very courteous and considerate. I've always liked a woman's attitude almost better than her looks, because I always told guys, you can have the 10s, you can have the 9s, or too high maintenance. You see, that's a turnoff for me. I always went for her, the bubbly girl next to the hot one, who was the 6, 7, or 8, which used to piss off the 9 or the 10. But I go, I want your friend because she's low maintenance. And I like low maintenance women. Every guy's different. A lot of guys like to climb Mount Everest every day. That's not me. I want to be in a lounge chair with a cocktail and a cigar in my hand. I don't need to climb Mount Everest every day. I don't need to go scale the mountain and be Mr. Whatever. Superman always trying to, because some of those women make you work for it too damn much. And I used to tell women, I already have a full-time job. I'm not looking for two. Capiche? I mean, when I'm with a girl, I want to have a good time. I want to relax. I want to have fun. I don't want to scale Mount Everest, and I don't want it to be her to be a drama queen, and I don't want to have to spend $200 on every date. That is where I'm coming from. The other girls to me were a lot more fun, low key. Let's watch a DVD and hang out and drink beer or whatever. You know, more of a low key thing. And that to me was just more fun. But again, every guy's different. I've done the big Scottsdale dinners. I've had the Scottsdale blonde on my arm. Oh yeah, I've been there, done that. And it's fun when you're in it. It's fun while it lasts. You know, and now I look back and I go, how in the hell, Brett, did I ever afford that? It's like, what was I thinking? I had a good time. Yeah, you know, I've had some great girlfriends in there. You know, when you find them, I'm moving quick. But it's just a dicey game today. I mean, it really truly is like Las Vegas, the role of the dice man. You don't know what you're going to get. It's got to keep rolling the dice, guys.
Yeah, you get, you know, and it'll land. One day it'll land on something, and, you know, it worked out for me, you know, that way, so I rolled the dice. You know, it was a risk, you know, but I ended up winning, so on that. But
you're a winner,
you know,
yes!
But you know what?
Brett the Surfer is a winner, you are.
But it's some people...
And I support my brothers. And I want everybody happy, and I like rich friends. So you're very wealthy. You have a great life, a great wife, and you got your two boys. You're a wealthy man, Brett. You're a wealthy man.
But life is different for everybody. So not everybody follows the same thing, you know. So
maybe
that kind of lifestyle, that's not their lifestyle, and maybe some people it's not their thing, you know. So live and let live. It is, you know. But there's beauty in everything. So I think that's my little 2 cents worth there.
I like it. Thank you, Brett. Have a great night, buddy.
All right, man.
Have a great night, man. That's Brett the Surfer. We're going to a bit of overtime here. I've got another call or two that's come in at the last minute here, and that's okay. Look, when you're on a date, guys, you know, there's the Likas 101 thing that came on the LA radio shows back in the day. I call it the Von Wehunt 303 program. We're the advanced class in the sense that you don't want to spend more than $10 on your first date. Back in the day, they would say don't spend more than $40 on a date. That's way too much money for the average guy making about $18 an hour. Meet the girl at a coffee shop, at a Starbucks. I call it the $10 date. Buy her a cup of coffee or a nice tea. Sit there and talk. Get to know each other. Don't go to dinner right away. Don't invest lots of money, effort, and time. See if one, will she show up to a coffee date? If she blows you off, you know she's a flake. And therefore, you don't have to waste your time making a reservation and all that stuff. Meet her for coffee first, or iced tea, or a beer at your local tavern. Keep it below $10 if you can, $10-$20 max, and just get to know her a little bit. Then that, from there, you can go back to your place or her place, or go see a movie, or then get a bite to eat or get some appetizers. But meet her first, and you meet her online. Keep it simple. I always say $10 is optimal, $20 max on the first date. And you can also do what I call the casino date for $1. You can meet her in the casino lounge and tip, because sodas are free in a lot of your local casinos. Just get a soda, nice air conditioned in the heat, sit on a nice chair, nice parka lounger, leather sofa. You can meet her there, tip the waitress a few dollars. And you can have a soda and talk there. You want to get to know these girls a little bit, because if they won't meet for a date, then they were never serious to meet you to begin with. And don't throw money at them to buy that. A lot of women have guys saying, hey, please meet me out. I'll give you $100. It's called pay per meet, PPM. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's for desperate guys with too much money to burn. Those girls are what's called dating for dinner. You don't want to be one of those guys. You want to meet the girl, and if she wants to meet you, great. You set it up from there. And from there, then you can develop something, and then you can go maybe get a movie, go get a restaurant, go out on the town, whatever. Do it in increments, step by step. You'll be far happier and a lot less stress on your wallet. And with that, let's get to Paul the Gladiator for a quick segment here, then we will close out the show. Let's get Paul on the air. Gladiator, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Doing good. Yeah, doing good. I hear you fine.
Yeah, so, I've been listening to the different scenarios, and, you know, I kind of remember, so you remember when online dating first started. You know, it was about
yes.
the year 2000, 2001, 2002. And you know, it was just, it started this whole, like, let's meet out for dinner. We'll meet at a restaurant, meet for a drink, at the bar at the restaurant, and maybe if we get along, we'll have dinner. And then that metamorphosized into the dating apps, you know, swipe left, swipe right. They were hookup apps where you would hook up at somebody's apartment or house, and that was just
right.
hooking up for sex. And then, you know, that kind of stopped about 10 years ago. And then all
right.
of a sudden, all these women that would meet you for a drink or a cup of, or a coffee 20 years ago, drink or coffee turned into, well, I want you to take me to Mastro's. I want dinner, 5 glasses of wine, you know, it's a $150 bill with the
right.
tip. And because, you know,
screw
now
that.
They don't want to meet. Yeah. So it's like you say, I always, you know, have gotten them to say, look, I'll meet you for coffee first, because what if you don't like me? Do you want to have an entire meal with me if you don't even like who I am? And, you know, you make them think for a second, because basically what I'm saying is I may not like you, you know?
That's right.
I may meet you for coffee, and you may talk my ear off with things I could care less about, you know?
Exactly.
Right? So, you know, I'll meet them for a coffee, like you say. It's a cheap date. I don't mind spending the, you know, I'll buy the 2 lattes for $10 at Starbucks. I'm fine with that, you know?
Sure.
And that way you can sit over the coffee or tea or whatever the heck they want to drink. But, you know, indoor, outdoor, if it's nice out, and be like, look, what do you think? You know, do you think we should plan a date, because this is not a date. This is a meet and greet after we talked on the phone to decide to meet and greet. And then a real date would happen if you really kind of click together. Then I don't mind meeting for a meal. You know, I'm not taking her to Mastro's, but, you know, I might take her to Buca di Beppo. I mean, a $50
right.
bill, but after we met already for coffee and decided that I liked her, she would have had to have decided she liked me, and we wanted to pursue it at that point, you know?
Right, and that's what I was saying for guys. Guys, you got to watch your wallets, man, and don't let these women, you know, drag you around by your nose, and they are dictating to you the terms of the date. That's BS. The man makes the date, and the man has the power to decide where we're going to go and what we're going to do. The woman has the right and the power to accept or deny. If she accepts
Correct.
The man's terms, great. Then you go out old school style, meet for coffee. I call it the $10 date. I'm like Paul,
yep.
happy to buy her a couple of lattes, a couple of cafe mochas, whatever, $10, you're in, you're out. You're going to know if you want to spend more time with her, and you aren't going to waste a lot of your precious time and your precious dollars that you work very hard for. These women are trying to get you guys to buy them dinner first. And then don't fall for that. I've had women pitch me, And here are the telltale signs. I'm sure Paul will agree. If a girl just talks about food, she goes, oh, I'm a foodie. I love restaurants. And she raves about a restaurant like a little girl talking to Santa. Can we go here? Can we go there? I would always say, sure, later on, not the first date. But I love that place. I'm sure you do. I've never been there, but let's meet for coffee first, or a tea, or even a beer or something, and go from there. And if they balk at that, you're better off letting her go because she only wanted you to buy her dinner anyway. She makes very little money. A lot of women use men for an ATM machine. She wants to buy a filet, and she wants you to buy it for her. And at the very end of the date, she'll give you a peck on the cheek and say, thanks a lot, bye, and off she goes. A lot of women like that out west especially. So avoid those girls. They're called dating for dinner chicks, and they will leave you high and dry with the bill. They want to eat for free. Your thoughts, Paul?
Right. Yeah, and actually you said something that kind of hit me, like, you know what, I'm going to use that line from now on. So I'm going to what you had said, paraphrase it. So if I say, you know, hey, why don't we meet for coffee? And they say, well, why don't we go out for dinner? What I'm going to say is what you had mentioned. From now on, I will use this. Well, I'll tell you what, since I will pay for coffees at Starbucks, but if you want to pay for dinner, then we'll go out for dinner. I am inviting you, so I will pay for the coffee at a coffee shop. I didn't say, let's go to dinner. You said, let's go to dinner. So if you want to pay for dinner, I'll go to dinner.
That's right.
If you don't want to pay for dinner, I'll pay for coffees first. If we like each other, vice versa, we both agree, and I say, hey, why don't we plan for a real date? Why don't we, you know, next time let's get together in a couple nights for dinner. Then I'm inviting you for dinner to pay for it. But if you're inviting me to dinner, you're going to pay for it.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. And right. Exactly, Paul. And what I used to tell women too, when I used to date them, right up front, guys, you establish the ground rules in a nice way. And I would tell the girl, look, I'm working and you're working. We can go down two different paths here. We can do twice as much fun stuff if we put our money together and I pay for some dates and then you pay for some dates. Because a lot of these women, for example, I dated a co-pilot of, you know, a freaking airline pilot. And she made $100,000 a year. Yes, she can afford to buy some dates. Not every girl is a pauper, right, or a serf. And then I also met a girl who was a healthcare administrator in Scottsdale, and she made about $80,000 a year. Okay, good money, especially in Arizona. So I said, look, I can't afford everything. I can, but I have to parse it out. If you want to chip in, and they both did, they said, yeah, that's a wonderful idea. I go, great. Well, you as women talking about equality, here is your chance to step up to the plate and have financial equality on a date. Oh, they don't like that. But you got to find girls that like that, and then you're golden, man. That's what I got to say.
Yeah. Well, you know, and quite honestly, I had one of my girlfriends. I lived here in Arizona, met her here. The only girlfriend I was ever really with that said, hey, I'm going to rent 10 days in Hawaii, if we both pay for our flights, I'm paying for the house near the beach. And she also, for my birthday, she bought 2 4-day, three-night cruise tickets, you know, for a cruise. It was the only woman who actually paid to go somewhere to take me along. And all she ever asked me for was one round trip flight that I had to pay for to Hawaii, which I was more than willing to buy because she paid for the lodging for 10 days, you know?
Nice.
And that actually got me hooked on Maui, and I ended up going to Maui on my own, you know, six times later on my own when we broke up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the other women I've always dated, I've had to foot that price. So I'm like, look, you know, I work, you know, 5-6 days a week. I mean, if you want to go away to Paris, you're going on your own. You know, who do you think's paying for all these dinners?
That's right. And you're right.
Yeah.
You go to a Scottsdale dinner, and guys, I'm telling you, these women think they got you boxed in, pun intended. Okay, don't let the vagina dictate to you what you're going to do. I know a lot of you guys succumb to it. Again, pun intended, but you got to hold the line and you got to be strong and tell them, look, you got to be able to smell a scam a mile away, man. And there's a lot of female scammers who view men as just dinner. Now, there's a lot of good women out there, but there are a lot of females online that are looking for you to pick them up and buy them dinner. And they'll say, I want to go to the Orange Tree Resort. I want to go to Mastro's. I want to go to Morton Steakhouse. It's going to be $150 to $200 after she has her drinks. And they always drink like a fish in a restaurant. Women will say, oh, I'm on a diet. But they're never on a diet inside the restaurant. They want to try every appetizer. They want to eat like a man. They want surf and turf. And she'll say, oh, I had a sensible salad all week long. Now I'm famished. Now I'm starving because you're paying for it. And then she wants the dessert. And then she wants a little to-go bag with a nice bow on it to take home. And I've seen guys, I told you I sat at the a steakhouse here, Arrowhead Grill, and I went over there and watched all the dates come in. Oh, my God, it was classic. All the dates come in. I could tell they were kind of this first or second date, kind of awkward. I looked at the guys got the check. The guys paid for the checks. And they walked out, and the women were decked out to the nines. And I don't know how many of those guys got lucky that night, but I bet you very few. But guys, you got to watch your pocketbook, because unless you're real, my dad had a great line. He goes, unless you're having sex with a woman, she's not really yours, and there's no reason or need in the world to pay for her meals all the time. If you're not having sex with her, if you don't have any designs on her, put the money back in your pocket and say, look, you want to be platonic? Okay, I'll meet you at a Starbucks and I'll buy you a coffee or we'll buy our own. There's a lot of women that say, oh, I don't want to do anything more. Okay, fine. Then you're like my sister and I don't date my sister. How about those apples?
Right.
You put it right back in her face. I don't date my sister. You're acting like my sister now. You're acting like... the every guy had a platonic girl at college that he had the hots for, but all she wanted to do was be an intellectual and talk. I knew girls like that, and I went, she's not going to go to bed with you. She is just wants to talk. Okay, it's called the Lonely Hearts Club. Nothing wrong with that. And but my point is, at some point, a man has physical needs. If you can't find a woman to at least give you some emotional and physical needs, time to move on, at least in my world, unless you want to sit there for 5 hours and talk to her about nothing. But every guy's different.
So it was funny what you mentioned earlier about, like, I had a salad all week and now I'm famished. So, you know, I had dated a woman in Scottsdale for about 3.5 years with, like, maybe one or two, like, 30-day breaks, right? And she was always, you know, she worked Monday through Friday. And I'd go over on Saturday, pick her up, and I'd be like, look, you know, why don't we go shopping for some food at, you know, Sprouts or Whole Food, and I'll grab a movie, and we'll come back. I'll make dinner at your house. And she'd be like, no, I've been home all week. I want to go out. I want to go to the restaurant. So,
yes.
So what would happen is we'd go eat. We'd go out to a movie, come back to her place in Scottsdale, indoor Scottsdale, we'd have sex, and then I'd go to the kitchen and open up the refrigerator. Because now I'm hungry again, right? I just had sex.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, like, a bottle of water, a little tiny carton of milk, and, like, I couldn't even tell you, maybe half a tomato, right? I'm like,
great point.
What do you eat during the week? Oh, I really don't eat much. I'm like, you just had 3 plates of food at the restaurant. What do you mean you don't eat much, right? That's when I first met her. And
right.
And, you know, finally got to the point where I was telling her, look, we've been dating way too long to continue this pattern of I show up, take you out, go to the movies, come back, have sex, and go home. I go, look, I'd rather spend that money into groceries than spend the weekend at your place. You don't cook, but I happen to be a great chef, and I can rent 40 DVDs for the same price they're walking into one movie at Redbox. You know, but she got into this pattern of, I want to go out. I want to be out and about. I don't want to be home. And I'm like, you know what? Then this is not working, sweetheart. We're not going anywhere. This is we're not getting to the next level here. You know, and she was 9 years older than me, and she was a beautiful woman, beautiful. I mean, at 59, she put 40-year-olds to shame. And, you know, she would always get, like, photographs made by photographers of her, like, half-naked, naked, and give them to me, like, you know, 8x12s and 5x10s. And I mean, she was a hot older woman, beautiful, no children, you know, really never in a marriage. You know, she was married for, like, a year when she was in her 20s, but that was it. So, you know, she couldn't have children, so nobody – who was going to be with her – you know, in the late 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, everybody wanted babies. She couldn't have babies, so nobody wanted to be with her. But she was a great-looking woman, right? So finally I was like, look, you know, we're not going anywhere. It's not like you don't want to get engaged. You don't want to get married. You know, you see me for like 8 hours on a Saturday night, and, you know, even sleeping over your condo is an issue. So, you know, you got to be careful with all of them, because even the ones you're dating for a while, they still want that $100 spent every Saturday night. So, you know, if the relationship is just static and it's not progressing from that, it's not worth
it. Well, there's a saying for that. They're called restaurant prostitutes. I'll be blunt. Right. There's women that walk the street, and there's women that walk the street for restaurants. It's true. They all want $100, and I used to always tell guys, either way you're paying for it. Think about it. Either way you're paying for it, whether you think you are or not. Every man, I don't care who he is, pays for it one way or the other. And I'll leave the show at that. what are your final thoughts, Bo?
That's it, man. That's it. We pay for it one way or another. We always pay. You got it. Yep.
That's right. The man always pays for it sooner or later. And guys, I'll tell you the little secret to life. It's all in your negotiation tactics. Women are negotiating with you from day one. And a lot of you guys don't even know it or realize it. Like a lot of countries are at war with America, and we don't even realize it. And we'll talk about that on Thursday at 8. But these women are vicious negotiators. And they're negotiating with you, tweaking you. Yeah, they're going to lead you around by the nose. They're going to hit you the soft spot, the underbelly. And me and Paul and Irish Pirate know all of that. We've been down these roads a million times, guys.
Yeah, they start negotiating. They start negotiating with the first text message and the first phone call. Yep.
Right. And I would go so far as to say women start negotiating with the boy next door when they're in the womb. Boys are negotiating with you in kindergarten, first grade. Do you want to hold my hand? It starts out from that, and it grows forward. But, Paul, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Y'all have a good night. All right, bye-bye.
You too, buddy. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. That's Paul the Gladiator, folks, from his mountain compound here. Now, you don't want to end up like most men in life who settle down with a fat woman who resents you, and you live in a crappy house, drive a beat-up old 1970s minivan. No! If you'd rather live an exciting life of impulsive weekend trips, nights on the town, and live in a delightfully tacky bachelor pad with a sports car and man cave, then you really need to follow these rules on the show to live by and to enjoy your Playboy bachelor lifestyle until you find that soulmate or get married, if that is of your manly choosing. So always read, boys, and listen to The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy book and radio show. Read and listen 100 times. Let it sink into your subconscious mind. And good luck to all the bachelors out there in America. And God save the Bachelor King. Thank you and good night, and God save the Bachelor King.